Graham McLean, the head of developing mountain biking in Scotland. And today's podcast, I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Leslie Ingram himself. On the podcast today, we discuss Leslie, how she got into mountain biking, and her quite unbelievably quick journey from starting to being a World Cup rider. We then also go on to discuss her amazing work in doing research into the evaluation of trail therapy, also into the work that she did on research into the use of e-bikes, which was conducted with British Cycling and a range of partners, including ourselves. I also talk a bit into depth on the benefits of bringing research and evaluation into programmes. I think it's a fascinating chat with an absolutely brilliant person. I hope you enjoy. Hi Leslie, how are you today?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Hi, it's a lovely kind of winter day, isn't it?
My goodness, we've not had sunshine for a while, so yeah, definitely happy to see a bit of brightness in the sky.
So Leslie, thanks very much for joining us on the Developing Mountain Biking in Scotland podcast today. Really interested in the work that you've been doing within Napier University and also your kind of journey into what you're doing. But actually, let's just start with what you do. Do you want to just give our listeners an idea of what you do?
Yeah, of course. So I guess my day job is I'm a lecturer at Edinburgh Napier University. I'm an exercise physiologist in the sports science department. That's all really difficult to say while walking up a hill.
Yeah, we have chosen the steepest bit of Glenfest to start this chat. And so within that, can you kind of explain a few of the sort of things that you do?
Yeah, of course. So I do a lot of teaching, so working with students in order to develop the next generation of sports scientists. But the key areas that I'm really interested in terms of research and sort of commercial activity is mountain biking. And as part of my role, I work in the Mountain Bike Centre of Scotland. And I'm the academic lead for wellbeing within that. So I look over all of the projects that are associated just with really keeping people healthy. And I guess that's where the real part of my sports science background comes in, is how can we keep people healthy and cycling for as long as possible?
Yeah, no, super interesting. I guess just to give, just for a bit of flavour and background, can you just explain a bit about what Mountain Bike Centre of Scotland is for listeners, in case they're not aware of the project within Edinburgh Napier University?
Yeah, so the Mountain Bike Centre of Scotland was funded by the Scottish Funding Council. It's been going on now for around
11, 12 years, yeah.
I wasn't too bad. Normally I'm much further out with my guesses. It's led by Professor Geraint Florida-James. And basically, it is a centre that is really looking to harness, I guess, innovation in Scotland, and looking to see where we can work with business, but also align them to universities. So where we might have individuals that are maybe starting up a company, they might have a product that they want to get tested, but they've got no idea where to go for that. And they can come to us. We will give them guidance. We'll send them to not only the correct department of university, but the correct university in order to be able to get some of the answers that they really require for that. And we work now with everyone from the early day startups all the way through to established businesses, with that main aim and goal of really building a mountain bike centre of excellence within Scotland.
Yeah, brilliant. And I guess within the health domain, it's interesting. You automatically think of products and services being the kind of physical bits that you put in your bike or you wear when you're out riding and things. But I guess within the health domain, there's quite a lot of research that can be done in that space.
Absolutely. So, we've got projects now running, looking at the benefits of cycling on bikes for your mental health. We've just recently conducted a project on e-bikes, having a bit of a look to see the impact that has on our health. But, you know, we've got things going on in the background where we're now starting to look at pollution exposure on bikes, and what impact that has on health and long-term health.
Wow, that is a good range of stuff from mental health, e-bikes, pollution. Just before we kind of go back into each of those subject areas, just from you yourself, can you just give as an idea of your kind of pathway into doing this?
So I started back as a young undergraduate back in the early 2000s in the sports science department. I then started working at Napier as a technician for a period of time. And during that time, I also started competing and racing in cross country. And I guess that's really where my passion for mountain biking started. And it really sort of projected me into thinking about a lot of different aspects of health and cycling and really what that, you know, what can be achieved within that space. And then from there, I became a researcher, conducted my PhD, and to basically where I am today.
Nice, good. And I'm just going into exploring a bit of you, the mountain biker, first as well. So you mentioned was it at university you first started getting into riding mountain bikes, or was it before then? Or
It was actually in my mid-20s, so when I'd actually started working at Napier, and I was going to buy a road bike. And G, in all his wisdom, said to me, don't buy a road bike until you've tried mountain biking. Have you ever been to Glenchess? Bear in mind, I'd spent the last 8 years in Edinburgh. I'd actually never crossed down to the borders and ridden at all at Glenchess. So I came down with work, had one ride, was absolutely hooked from the offset, overtaking people who'd done it for years, scared the living daylights out of G, and the rest was history.
Wow, so that must have been a pretty quick transition, I'm guessing, from that first experience through. Then you said you raced World Cups as well?
Yeah, so within a 2 year period, I actually had gone from not cycling at all ever on a mountain bike to racing my first World Cup.
No.
So it was a pretty steep learning curve, but God, it was a lot of fun.
Hi, well, that's amazing. Yeah, and I mean, I guess before then as well, did you kind of do a lot of sports growing up and different things, or?
Yeah, so I've always been sporty, but like in my younger years, it was predominantly team sports. So played a lot of hockey, football, and that's kind of what I played all the way through university. I used to captain the football team. It was always team sport, and then I got into this individual space on a mountain bike, and it was like, this is maybe the sport I've been waiting for my whole life.
Aye. And I guess, you know, just exploring that a little bit quickly is the, you know, kind of why mountain biking, and what were the things that really helped, inspired you to get on bikes and made them love them so much?
Yeah, I guess for me, it's just that total freedom. So you can come into a forest, you sometimes see people, you sometimes see no one. You can kind of like process all the things that have happened in your day that are maybe happening in your week to come. It's just a real opportunity I find where I can kind of park all the noise and I can sort of process it on the climbs. And then by the time I get to the descents, it's all gone and I can just have a really great time.
Yeah, like it definitely helps. I mean, I guess as well, inside that does sound like quite a, in some ways, a nice transition into the work on kind of mental health as well, doesn't it? Is that ability to process in the climbs, and then have a complete focus on the descents. So I mean, just can we talk a bit more about your work in mental health?
Yeah, absolutely. So currently the team at Napier are undergoing a bit of a evaluation project where they're assessing a trail therapy project that is run by Developing Mountain Biking in Scotland. And essentially what we're trying to establish is, I guess most of us as cyclists or as mountain bikers really appreciate the great outdoors and what this space can do for us. And what we're really trying to understand now is, what can that do for other people? So what can it do for individuals who have some mental health issues? Can we bring them out onto a bike, into a safe space, in order for them to enjoy that space, but also to process some of the difficulties that they're going through.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, like, yeah, it's a project that you know, Trail Therapy, that we're especially proud of, and we can really see the difference that it's making when we're delivering it to people with kind of Dr. Christine Fox, who runs the project, and our amazing leader, Paul McFarlane, who delivers it. But I guess from your experience of collecting the data and seeing the quotes coming in, you know, can you give us an idea of the kind of impact that it's having?
I mean, it's just huge. The riders, the coaches, the leaders, they all just really describe and talk about these experiences where it's just so different to sitting in a clinical environment where they can open up, they can chat about things. It might be something, you know, just when they're cycling up on a hill together, they're not having to make eye contact. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of pressure on them to talk or to talk at all about any of their issues, yet it appears to be a space where that seems to happen naturally. And it seems to be just across the board, everyone that you talk about, everyone that you talk to has something positive to say about that space and about their own journey during those difficult times.
It's going to be super interesting from, you know, that evaluation comes through, and that helps us provide an evidence base to look at more funding to see how we can grow that program across Scotland. And I guess that kind of brings me on to the kind of a bit of a probably a general point, but how important is kind of evidence and evaluation of projects?
I mean, it's the catalyst for everything. It's what gives us the funding in order to be able to keep these programmes alive and to develop them. And, you know, to get some external funding, you know, that, you know, we're not involved in the project in any way other than evaluating it. We're adopting, you know, top-notch research practice into that. It's just so important for moving forward.
And it's something we believe in. I guess there's a couple of values for it as well. One is that funding thing as well, and there's also, I think, as well for us in Dublin, Scotland, we're always keen to learn and understand how we can get better. Is that something that comes through within research just in general?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think sometimes when you're in the middle of projects, it's difficult to see your own growth or the growth of those around you, and that's what these projects really aid and give value to. So having a baseline, you know, then monitoring people over the course of a journey, and then monitoring at the end and sometimes even beyond that end point. So what happens next? Where do they go? How do they continue to develop as a person? How can, you know, what does the next project in this space look like? How do we continue to help those individuals?
Yeah, no, I can totally see that. And that's some of the real value that we get from that as well. And I mean, I guess, you mentioned there as well, a project on kind of cycling and pollution, which I guess will take, is that taking you slightly away from the mountain bike space as well? And can you just explain a bit more about that as a project?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I'm really interested in is, I guess, health is probably where I'd start. But I'm really interested in health and aging and how you keep people healthy for longer periods of time. The project that we're currently about to start at Napier University, we're looking at essentially building a bike that will be able to capture pollution as a cyclist cycles around the streets of Edinburgh. And why that's important is we have lots of details, I guess, about the average levels of pollution in cities. But we know that that average isn't a constant. We know that we have peaks and troughs throughout the day, probably associated with heavy commuting times, which is where most people are on bikes. So what we'd like to start to do is just understand what that actually looks like at the individual level. And then we're going to hopefully bolt on some other projects where we start to get into the nitty-gritty of human health, and we're going to look at things like their immune system. So what happens to an individual's immune system when they're exposed to pollution? Are there ways that we can reduce that to make it more efficient? You know, for example, does riding an e-bike have more benefit because you're not working as hard, so you're not breathing as hard, so you're not exposed to as much pollution? The key driver of pollution and health is frequency and time. So how often you're exposed and the length of time that you're exposed to. So we're just really interested to see what data we can generate from that, first of all. But the end game, which will be years away, is really about health and how we keep people healthier for longer using bikes in these spaces.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, and I guess as well, though, like you're going to collect all the data on this as well, but it was going to be super interesting to see, I guess, how hard you work on an old normal manual bike. I'm not sure what we call them.
I don't think anyone knows what to call them anymore.
A bike. I guess you're working that much harder on that. Does that offset?
Yeah.
A bit as well, but I guess that's the value in the data you're pulling through.
Absolutely, it's going to start off in the city, this project, but I don't think it'll take me away from mountain biking or rural spaces, because we have pollution in those spaces too. And actually, that's probably the most under-researched area, and that's definitely where I would like to move things in the future.
Yeah, no, really cool. Yeah, and also as well that, yeah, breaking down some of the barriers within rural areas for getting people on bikes for commuting as well, is really interesting as well.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think off-road and not all cycle path has a role to play in that as well. We mentioned e-bikes there as well. So you just recently completed some research with British Cycling ourselves and the forestries across three countries. Can you explain a bit more about that as a project?
Yeah, I'd just like to start off by saying, though, I've got a bone to pick with you, that we're walking up a hill out of breath, and we should definitely be on e-bikes doing this podcast.
Oh, it should be, shouldn't it?
There was an error in your plan.
Yeah, it usually is.
Yeah, absolutely. So the project was really aimed at trying to understand a little bit more about the individuals who are currently riding electric mountain bikes in Great Britain. So what we aimed to do within the study was to understand the riders, to understand what their motivations, maybe their barriers, and just to try and get a bit of a sense for where they want to ride their bikes and maybe what they're looking for in the future as the sport evolves.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and is this something that there's a lot of research on to date?
In the e-electric mountain bike field, there's almost nothing. So we're pretty excited and we're pretty chuffed to have really conducted, I'd say, the biggest research study on this field to date.
Brilliant. No, really exciting. And I guess you mentioned a couple of the themes there as well that are coming through that, or things that the research looked to do. Can you just expand on some of the evidence that was gathered through it as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the easiest place to start is the rider. So what we found was that individuals who are riding electric bikes tend to be older, which is really nice to see. So sort of 45 years and above. We found that the majority of the riders had been riding electric bikes for less than 2 years, but had been riding mountain bikes for greater than 10 years. So I guess that really does sort of put into context how new the discipline is. And I think that's quite an exciting space, because it means it's really going to evolve, you know, further within the next 5 to 10 years. The other really cool thing that we saw was, so we surveyed over 1,300 individuals, and within that we had around 300 or just less than 300 individuals who hadn't even ridden an e-bike yet, but were e-bike curious. And actually a fair number of those hadn't even really mountain biked before. So again, I think that's a really exciting space, because there is a suggestion there that it has the ability to attract new people into the sport, and I think that's always a really big positive.
Yeah, and did it also explore what the barriers might be for those people to get into the sport?
Yeah, and you know, the main barrier that came back for those individuals was definitely cost. You know, you're looking at £2,000 plus now for most electric mountain bikes, and it is quite a big offset, you know, for an individual. But I think this is really where we can start to use this information to lobby with governments to try and help them see the benefits of the bikes. There's quite a fair bit of research out there in the commuter world of e-bikes provide enough benefit physically or cardiovascularly to improve the health of individuals. So that's a big tick in my eyes in any way. But also that we really want to be trying to reduce carbon in cities if our cities are going to make these really ambitious targets that have been set for 2030, 2050. Some of that space in those cities is going to have to be occupied by bikes. And the more bikes in my eyes, the better.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess though as well, like, I'm general agreement that more bikes is a good thing, but perhaps not everywhere and everything as well. And did the study explore that?
Absolutely. So we tried to get a bit of an understanding. Obviously, what we found from the people that we surveyed was that they reported that they cycle further, they cycle faster, and they cycle more often than what they do in a normal bike. And where we were interested in that was, what does that further actually look like? So up here in Scotland, we're very blessed to be able to access lots of different trails and landscapes. So what does that look like? Do people want to be cycling in Monroes and fragile habitats? But we also looked at that down in England and also in Wales. Do people, are they interested in getting to these more remote spaces that potentially have ecological areas that should be protected, both in terms of fauna or animals or everything else that's in between? And what we found was, some individuals did want to go into those spaces. The majority of riders really wanted to ride forestry tracks and sort of designated cycling forests, really.
Yeah, so, and I guess within that, though, you know, even with a slight increase in those, it can be a bit of a pressure within it. And is there things that we can do in around responsible access and promoting key messages to people as they start to look to explore beyond some of those spaces, which as well?
Absolutely. And I think there's probably a few different avenues that we have to look at within those spaces. I think the first one is that you're definitely going to be in a shared space with other users, whether that's walkers, horse riders, runners, etc. And I think sometimes those spaces can generate a little bit of conflict between the different users, because everyone is sort of condensed into a smaller space. But I think the real education around that for individuals who are on electric bikes is just to be aware that they are on a bike that is fairly quiet and people might not hear them. They will be approaching at a much faster speed than what individuals are used to. So again, it might be just to slow down, just some real, probably basic trail etiquette that a lot of us take for granted, but, you know, pulling over, allowing people to pass, thinking about the areas that we're going to, if we are going out and it's very wet and boggy, you know, should we be going into these more remote areas, or should we go when the weather conditions are maybe a little bit better and, you know, there's, we won't really be creating any damage within those spaces. But I think it's, you know, it's one of those key areas that really needs more research. We don't really have any substantial findings to suggest that electric bikes cause more erosion or disruption within those spaces. But I think if you are going to go into those spaces, it's your responsibility just to be considerate in that space, but also to make sure that you're educated about where you're going. So do you know how to get out of that space if you get in trouble or if your battery runs out? Do you know the preferred way to, if you needed help, who are you going to call? So for instance, within the survey, we found that most respondents are using something called these three words, or what three words?
What three words?
What three words, thank you. And actually, when you speak to the emergency services, they would much rather people use things like OS locate to get a more accurate pinpoint place of where that individual is. So I think there's a lot of education in terms of that outdoor space that we could all do, just to make sure when we're going into the areas that we're prepared, and also prepared for the worst. So if you do get hurt, do you have things in your pack that are going to keep you warm and help you stay for, you know, until that help does arrive?
Yeah, no, that's really useful. And I mean, I guess that's the sort of things we can do to mitigate against some of the potential negative things that you bringing in e-bikes would have. But I thought it was really, you know, interesting coming through from the research as well, was some of the real positive benefits that e-bikes can have, and e-mountain bikes can have on people with long-term illnesses, and also keeping people active as we go into later in life. Can you expand a bit more on them?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, from the individuals that we surveyed, 15% of the respondents highlighted that they either had a disability or a long-term health condition, which is on par with the UK population. And really what we found when we went further and we did some interviews with some of these groups is that the e-bike gives them a sense of freedom and an ability to maybe keep up with friends that they had lost touch with or weren't able to anymore because of their illness or condition. And it's providing them with, you know, all those things that we really love in terms of getting out, having that freedom. You know, in some cases, individuals were using it while on treatment for things like cancer, etc. And they were just finding it gave them space in their day to go out and to have fun and to forget about all the really crap things that can sometimes happen in life.
Yeah, and it does. It definitely ties all of those things together, doesn't it? Like we're saying as well, it's that there's not really that much difference, but I guess it can mean even more if you have one of those kind of longer term illnesses as well, to have that and to be able to continue to have that.
Absolutely. I think it's so important. And, you know, I just think getting out into the forest or, you know, onto a path or just, you know, into a space where there's not all this, you know, we live in these societies where there's so much hustle and bustle, and it's nice sometimes to be walking past a pond and to watch a duck stick its bum up at you, and, you know.
He's definitely did that, was there, wasn't it?
But it just makes you feel more connected, I think, you know, and I guess sometimes with definitely sort of long-term health conditions, you can become quite isolated quite easily. You might, you know, not have the energy or not be able to get out on your bike normally, or, you know, you kind of feel more confined to indoor spaces. So by an electric bike giving you some of that assistance, it's really cool. You know, it's really amazing, actually, the difference in the demographic an electric bike can actually harness. And I just think it's so special.
Yeah, no, and I think myself being kind of riding normal bikes most of the time, sometimes there is a bit of a, I want to go out today, have I got that? And actually taking an e-bike out means that you just get out, because the barriers are not there day to day, but like that you have of just that getting up the hill, if I haven't ridden for a week or so, it's that fitness element to it as well, and actually getting out and enjoying riding. I personally, I don't think I don't quite enjoy it as much as I do my normal bike, because I don't enjoy the descents quite as much. But it actually helps me get out, and then I remember I don't enjoy it as much as my normal bike, and that makes me want to ride my normal bike more.
Yeah, and I think that's it. It's just, you know, they give different people different things, electric bikes, and I think that is definitely the coolest thing about them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got numerous stories from the study of dads being able to ride with their sons, you know, with, you know, people with illnesses being able to get out with groups of friends, you know, with partners being able to ride together because they used to always argue on the first climb. It just seems to create a really special space where people aren't isolated. I think that's probably what they prevent, an isolation. And it doesn't matter what your age is or your fitness or your health condition, everyone can enjoy that space together.
Yeah, no, that's good. Changing tack away from e-bikes as well. I mean, something that I know you're passionate about is getting more girls and women into mountain biking as well. And so just wondering your perspective on that in terms of how are we doing in that space and what things we could be doing more of.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely I've been watching the sport evolve now for a fair number of years. I'm not going to give away the exact number to demonstrate quite how old I've got. But, you know, I've been really privileged to sort of watch that space grow and to, you know, actually be involved, Graham, within projects that you've delivered in terms of Go Girls, targeting, you know, 8 to 13 year olds, trying to keep them cycling during that time where we know physical activity can drop within that population. And we are seeing, definitely, I would say, in like mountain bike meccas, way more females on the trails. Yeah. That is a no-brainer. But I think we still have so much to do, because most of the individuals who are still cycling probably have done that because someone they know cycle, and I think there's a whole section of the population that we haven't even tapped into yet, and I think it's really important for us to do that, to, you know, again, be more inclusive and just to make everyone aware, like, how cool this sport really is and how much it can give you back in life. And, you know, I think a lot of us think that fitness sometimes can be a bit dull, like, put me in a gym and I definitely feel like a caged animal, but bring me outside on a bike and God, I just can't help but smile. And I think everyone should have the opportunity to experience that.
Yeah, definitely. And we do have an issue in Scotland and globally as well about levels of kind of physical activity from kind of girls and women in general, and anything we can do to help that has got to be a positive thing. And again, slightly different subject again, but just thinking as well of the, you know, we're looking at kind of multi-million pound investment into a mountain bike innovation centre, which Mountain Bike Centre Scotland and Edinburgh Napier, along with ourselves, are key partners in. What kind of difference do you think from a health research perspective that innovation centre might make?
Well, I think, you know, being the wellbeing theme lead, it's got real possibilities of bringing technology into our health and, you know, what we can monitor and what we can track. I think it just it has the ability to for companies to get involved in that space. You know, if I was in the biking industry, and I knew that people were trying to keep individuals healthier for longer so that they could cycle for longer, I would be well up for that. And I think that this space, we can really showcase some of the benefits, and obviously we hope to continue to research in this area and really demonstrate the impact that it can have.
Yeah, and just having a base and a home for that kind of connections is what a lot of it's about, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's like anything. People, I can't remember, I think we've got like a 7-minute attention span these days, and I don't even know how many clicks we do on the internet before we get bored, but the more that information is made available in a really easy manner, the better. And certainly it's something, you know, as an academic that I'm really passionate about, is that I'm not just sitting crunching numbers in an Excel sheet, but actually what I'm trying to do is to get out to the wider population and have some of these conversations, and not only try to understand and answer my own research questions, but try to do that for companies, try to do that for the population, try to do that for organisations like Developing Mountain Biking in Scotland.
Yeah, no, it's and I think like we kind of tying that back to the research bit as well, the value we get of that is we can learn, get better, be able to do our projects better. And then the counter side of it as well is hopefully funders can come in to then fund these things as well. It's because they can see, we can evidence the impact of them.
Yeah, and I think that is key, is just, you know, really, our world definitely revolves around money, sadly. And that continual investment and funding is really important for this work to continue. But not only to continue to develop, and I think, we've got a really special thing happening in the borders at the moment, and it's going to provide so much opportunity across so many different sectors. You know, we're talking industry, we're talking public health, government, and the more joined up we are in that, the better impact there's going to be for Scotland as a whole.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Scotland as a whole is definitely a point. I mean, we've definitely seen through like the cycle facilities funds and other things, a lot of investment in right across the whole of Scotland, which we're really proud to be involved in as well. And I think the another interesting side is the kind of urban facilities and pump tracks and skills areas, and cities have got more pressure on that space. I think they're a really useful introduction into the sport and into activity and having fun on your bike.
And I was absolutely, you know, 100% agree with that. I think what we want to do is, you know, everyone likes slightly different things on a bike and on a mountain bike. Some of us like big flowing trails or big steep jumps. And what we want to do is expose as many people as possible to all the different varieties of it. And, you know, in urban spaces, that's a really cool place to start. It's not a cheap sport to get into. And when you then bolt on things like traveling to a venue, it starts to become another restrictor. So if we can have these super cool spaces where people can hop on their bike, you know, and within 20 minutes be at a facility in town, well, that's just so cool.
Yeah, totally. No, I think some of the biggest enjoyment I've got from this job as well is going to some peaceful places that we've been really involved in, like Skelf Bike Park, Templo Moods in Dundee. And you see a kid come along and with a kind of beaten up BMX and a big smile.
Yeah.
It's like just so satisfying.
It is. It's the coolest part.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, and I guess going back to your own kind of mountain biking and adventures, have you got anything lined up for this year?
No, I'm definitely in retirement these days, so it's all just about having fun and catching up with mates. So I've not got anything solid in the diary, but it's early days. I'm a bit more of a fair weather cyclist these days, so waiting for the lighter nights and the better weather.
Yeah, better weather. You can't get much better than this. Look at this. Look at the sunset we have cracking over there. But yeah, yeah. So thanks very much for taking the time to do this podcast with us today. I think we've covered some super interesting topics. Through that, and I'm sure our listeners agree. And as always, if you did like this, please give it a like, share, review, comment, and we can get this out to more people, and more people can hear the excellent words of wisdom of Dr. Leslie Ingram-Sills. Thank you, Leslie.
Cheers, Graham.